I love the Christmas story. I love Christmas songs. I love the idea that God is among us. I love Christmas. Amen? Amen. And as Charles has already said, during our next service, which will be an hour from right now, our children will actually have a program, so we invite you after this service, stick around, have a snack up at the fellowship hall, and come back and listen to the children's program next hour. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, thank you for this season again. We've just sung that there is a hope that is alive in us because of your gift in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that we celebrate this Advent, this first Advent, knowing that there's another one coming. But we celebrate today, Father, with people around America and the globe, that God is among us. He came, Jesus came as a baby and dwelt among us and went to that cross for our sin. And so we thank you for that today. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that as churches gather around this town, this community, this state, this nation, and the world, that we'd be reminded of your goodness and your grace and your mercy and your love and forgiveness and all the attributes that you are, O God, and joy. As Charles has mentioned, our third candle is lit this morning, the third candle of Advent, and it's joy. And we can know that joy in Jesus. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that people would know joy. People that are struggling, people's names that are on the prayer focus, people that have been told they have cancer, people that hurt, people that are alone. I pray, oh God, that this season, again, that they would know the joy of Jesus. And so thank you, Father, for this season. Thank you that it's not as cold this morning as it could have been. Thank you for being with us already. Continue to guide us by your Spirit this hour and next as our children bring us the Christmas story in their program. And Father, we pray for all the rest of the churches around us today. May your Spirit have freedom and you be glorified, O God, this day, this season, and always. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, most of you, that I chose this Advent season to not talk about the traditional verses in Scripture from Luke and Matthew about the Christmas season, but I have chosen three statements for this Advent season, statements of Jesus, I am. And if you were with us last week, you remember that we spoke from John 15 when Jesus said, I am the true vine. And we saw some things about that. And we saw how important it was that we stay connected to the vine. We get our vibrancy and our spiritual life to produce fruit from the vine. And it's imperative that the church stays connected to Christ. We saw also that lopped off branches are not going to produce fruit. And we saw also that half-connected or partially connected branches will not bear fruit. And we are called as people of God to bear fruit for Jesus. And so we saw all of that last week. And today we're going to look at another I am statement. This one comes from John 10. If you have your Bible, that's where we're going to be. John chapter 10. Now let me say this too. I mentioned to you last week the crowd that was listening to the I am the true vine, we're followers. This is upper room conversation. Last week was. Today's crowd is a very different crowd. We need to understand who the crowd is, who he's talking to. And so today's setting is very different. This conversation in John chapter 10 starts in John chapter 9. You need to read 9 and 10 together to put the whole story together. But this is a very different crowd here that he's going to make this I am statement to. When you start in John 9, which we're not going to look at, but there's this blind man, blind from birth, and Jesus heals him. He gives him sight. It had never happened before. Blind from birth, Jesus encountered him. Jesus gives him sight. But he gave him sight on the Sabbath day. That's a problem for the Pharisees. Not a problem for Jesus, but it was a problem for the Pharisees. So you got this conversation in John chapter 9 between the Pharisees and the man that's now got sight, his parents. You've got all this conversation going on, this dialogue going on. Some of them were saying he cannot be from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. I give you all of this background because I'm going to get to John 10 in a minute. It's important we understand who is he talking to here when he makes this I am statement. So you've got some in the crowd of the Pharisees saying he can't be God from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath, for heaven's sakes. He can't be of God. And others who would say, this is in John 9, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? And so you got this conversation going on in chapter 9. Lots of the crowds around him, Jewish people. Yeah, the disciples were in there too. But Jewish people and religious folks who assume they are in the know when it comes to the coming Messiah. As Jews, they would have been looking for the Messiah. That's just what they did. They were looking for the Messiah. And so when we get to chapter 10, he starts talking about the sheepfold. Some of you know exactly, you've read it recently, and you haven't, you can look at chapter 10 right now. He starts having this conversation about the sheep pen, the sheepfold, and how you come into the fold. And he speaks about the door, he himself the door. And he talks about those that would come in, try to come into the fold from other means. He calls them thieves and robbers. And you can read all about that. I don't read that now because you can read that. I want to jump right to verse 11 of chapter 10 and make the statement that Jesus made. Remember, he's talking to a large crowd, many of whom are Pharisees, many of whom are wrestling with, he can't be from God if he heals on the Sabbath. Many wondering, but how can a sinner do these kind of things? And then we get to John 10, verse 11, and he says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, they would have understood that, having shepherds outside of Jerusalem, around Bethlehem. They would have understood that shepherds would be willing to give their lives to protect the sheep. They would understand that. But he makes this bold proclamation, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. They would understand this in natural terms. Natural enemies of the sheep are wolves. The person that doesn't own the sheep is not going to protect them like the owner does. They would understand all of that. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and he does not care about the sheep. Jesus is trying to make the statement to this crowd, I am not the hireling. I am the good shepherd. Stay with me. I'll get to the point in a minute. 14, he says it again. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. In other words, in this vast crowd that he's talking to, Pharisees and scribes and curious onlookers and a few of his followers, he says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. In other words, he knew in that crowd who belonged to him. And he says, am known by my own. You see the conversation they were having? I don't know if this can be of God if he's healing on the Saturday, on the Sabbath. He's saying here to them, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and really, if you think about it and you're really my sheep, you know who I am. That's what he's telling them. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He says it again. And then he says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. He's talking about the church. Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, black, white, Pharisee or non, those that will finally commit to following Jesus will be of the one flock, and they will have one shepherd, Jesus. I don't know if they got any of it. Matter of fact, when we're going to see a statement here in a minute, we'll know that some of them didn't get it, and some of them were wrestling with this statement when he said, I am the good shepherd. 17, therefore my Father loves me because I laid down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. And so, he's got this vast crowd around him, anticipating and waiting for the Messiah. He's healed a man that has been blind his whole life. They're wrestling about who is Jesus? Who is he? And the Bible says again in John 10, therefore there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings. What he had just said. Many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. That's what they thought. Somebody claiming to be the good shepherd that's going to die, that's going to take up his life. Some of them are saying he is has a demon and he is a madman. Why are you even listening? And the Bible says others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So you've got this chapter 9, chapter 10 conversation all together. And you've got this wrestling match in their minds. Who is Jesus? Now, we're going to step back in time a little bit. Let me show us how profound this statement is from the Old Testament when he says, I am the good shepherd. Psalm 80. If you've got your Bible, I'm going to be in Psalm 80, just three examples from the Old Testament. I could pick a lot more, but I want us to see how profound this statement is to these Jewish people. Psalm 80, this is not David, this is a psalm of one of the choir directors. But here's what he says. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. I'm going to read a little bit more in a minute. But do you see what he's saying? The psalmist is saying he's addressing God Almighty as, O shepherd of Israel. You know the between the cherubim, do you not? You know what that means, don't we? This means yes, I know what it means, this means no. Work with me here, we just got started. That's the scenario, Old Testament, tabernacle, temple, holy of holies, the mercy seat, the cherubim, the Ark of the Covenant. That's where God dwelt in the Old Testament. Tabernacle with Moses, temple with Solomon, and the psalmist addresses him here. Give ear, O shepherd. He's calling God the shepherd. You who dwell between the cherubim. He's addressing the shepherd as God. God as the shepherd. He goes on to say further, same chapter, verse 3. Restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine and we will be saved. O Lord of hosts, how long will you be angry? And so I give us this example because they knew these scriptures. And this psalmist, I'm going to give us another one from King David in just a minute, but this psalmist is calling God Almighty the shepherd of Israel. You starting to get the flavor here of the statement, I am the good shepherd. This is good stuff. To the Jewish people, to use the word shepherd was a clear, in this kind of a context was a clear connection to God. A title they knew for Jehovah God. Yes, there were under shepherds, the spiritual leaders of Israel at the time. But in this kind of a connection, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, was a clear title for God. If that isn't enough, stay with me. Psalm 23. You know what Psalm 23 says. You know it's from David. And David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." They knew this stuff. The scribes and the Pharisees knew this stuff. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know what he said. "I shall not want. It is the Lord that makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." And on and on and on. Jesus is saying to this crowd, to a thousand years later, "I am the good shepherd." And so they should understand this connection. David wrote about the shepherd. The other psalmist wrote about the shepherd of Israel. And Jesus is making this statement, "I am the good shepherd." Let me give you another example. This one comes from Ezekiel 34. I don't know if this is exciting to you, but this is exciting to me. This kind of a statement to the Jewish people is crystal clear on who is Jesus. And when they had these connections to the Old Testament, they had this scripture to read. They see that God was the good shepherd. And Jesus is now making this statement, "I am the good shepherd." There is that connection that should have resonated with one. It should have knocked them off their feet in humble adoration to King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Ezekiel 34, if you happen to be here the last Sunday of September, the last Sunday before I went to surgery, I spoke from Ezekiel 34. Some of you will remember that the Lord spoke to me through Ezekiel 4 how Ezekiel was condemning the shepherds of Israel for not doing their job. Some of you remember. Ezekiel is in Babylon. They're in captivity. They're in captivity because the spiritual leaders have not done their job, among other things. And so you've got this setting in Ezekiel chapter 34 where God gives the word to Ezekiel, "Tell the shepherds you haven't taken care of the sheep." And then we get to verse 11, Ezekiel 34. And I'm just going to skim through there and give you all these quotes that God is saying to Ezekiel to say to the children of Israel. "For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out as a shepherd seeks out his flock for the day he is among on the day he is among his scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep." And the chapter goes on to say things like that, on and on and on. "So I will seek out my sheep," he said. "I will bring them out. I will feed them. I will feed them in good pasture. I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down." All these shepherd attributes, God said, "Because the under shepherds of Israel haven't taken care of my sheep, then I will." Ezekiel 34. Here's my point in Ezekiel 34. It comes from verse 23. After God has said all those other things through Ezekiel, he says this, "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and he will be their shepherd." Now, I think you understand that Ezekiel comes 350 years after David. You get that, right? This means yes, I get that. He's not talking about David. When God said, "I will place one shepherd over my people, my servant David. He's saying he will come from the lineage and the house of David. Matthew chapter 1 and 2. He talks about the lineage and the house of David, and Jesus comes from that line. That's what he's talking about. God says to Ezekiel, through Ezekiel here, I'm going to place over my people one shepherd from the line of David. He will tend them. He will tend them, and he will be their shepherd. They knew this stuff. And yet, we find ourselves in this setting in John chapter 10, 9 and 10. The Jewish leaders, the ones in the know, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, are still fighting and bickering about who is Jesus. They're fighting because they're thinking, who is this Sabbath breaker? Can't be of God, breaking the Sabbath. Who is this alleged prophet who gives sight to the blind? And in that setting, knowing the Old Testament, did they have it memorized? Of course not. But they had it. They knew of David. They knew of the statements that said, that David said, the Lord is my shepherd. They knew of Ezekiel. They knew of the other Psalms. When this scripture said, God said, I in time will put in front of you one shepherd. And they're wrestling and they're fighting and they're wrangling amongst themselves. Who is he? That's in the context he makes the statement, I'll tell you who I am. I am the good shepherd. That's who I am. Quite frankly, I think he couldn't be any more clear to them about who he was when he said, I am the good shepherd. And either they would have had to come to terms with that, they either would have had to blame him for blasphemy, or reason that God is among us. Are you getting me? You with me yet? They would have had to come to one conclusion or the other for someone to make the claim, I am the good shepherd. They would have had to come to the conclusion, either he is a blasphemer, making himself equal with God, or God is among us. One or the other. Miraculously, some get to this point and said he has a demon, he's nothing but a madman. To me, that is hard to understand. And some have arrived at the point they're wondering, can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Here's my point, friends. They had to decide which it was. Are you with me? when he makes these kind of statements, last week the statement, I am the true vine, and he told the disciples, the followers, this is how you're going to bear fruit. You must abide in me. You must stay connected. God the Father, the vine dresser, he will take care. He will prune. He will trim. He will chasten. He will try to draw out of you the best. He is talking last week to followers. This week he is talking to the Jewish people, the curious onlookers, and he says to them, I am the good shepherd. The one that David talked about, the one the other psalmist talked about, the one that Ezekiel talked about, I am the good shepherd. And they had to decide on that day, is he a madman with a demon? Or is he the good shepherd? They had to decide. And I'm telling you, friends, whether you're listening by Facebook this morning or you're sitting here, I'm telling you, we have to decide too. We have to decide about the baby that we celebrated Christmas, who said to his followers, I am the true vine. You're not going to have any other life outside of me. And he said to the Jewish people, those that should have known about the shepherd, I am the good shepherd. They had to decide, and so do we. Is he a liar? Is he a madman with a demon? Or is he Lord? They had to decide. And so do we. You can't go through life on the fence. You can't go through the life, well, you know what, I kind of believe and I'm not sure. We have to decide, is he a liar, a madman with a demon, or is he Lord of the universe? We have to decide, and I'm telling you, friends, to decide about Jesus is to follow Jesus. We can't say, yeah, I believe he's come as a baby, and we have to decide, are we going to follow the good shepherd? To decide about Jesus, I've spent months talking to us about the invitation to follow me. To decide about Jesus is to follow Jesus. You can't be in the crowd that says, not really sure, can a demon open the eyes of the blind? We can't be indifferent about this child king. We can't be indifferent about the one that said, I am the true vine. We can't be indifferent about the one that says, I am the good shepherd. Either we live for him and follow him because we have recognized he is Messiah. He is Lord. He is the good shepherd. Or we don't. There is no in between. We have to decide. And so, let me close with this before we sing our last song. This baby that we celebrate at Christmas is the life-giving vine. This baby we celebrate at Christmas is God, the Good Shepherd. God in the flesh. God incarnate. And I just want us to ponder for a moment. Have I really decided? Yeah, I got this head knowledge about him, but I want us to ponder, have I really decided who he is? Is he Lord for you? Because if you say yes, he is Lord for me, Jim, then are you following the Good Shepherd? Are you abiding in this true vine? Are you living for him daily? And so as we sing this last song, What Child Is This? We have to ask ourselves a question. We have to decide about who he is. And if you haven't gotten to that point, friends, I want to encourage you. It's time to decide. Who is he? This baby in the manger that grows up and makes these kinds of statements. Who is he? Is he Lord to me? Am I living for him? Jane, let's sing. And if you're not sure about that, friends, it all starts with repentance. We've got to repent of our sin. Believe in these statements. Believe him for who he said he was and receive him by faith and follow. Anything else will not do. Any kind of conversation, well, I don't know. He seemed like a good guy. Can a demon open the eyes of a blind man? We have to decide, is he Lord? And so if you're not sure about that, I'd love to pray with you, talk with you. Charles will pray with you, talk with you. But you've got to decide, is he Lord?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do sing your praises today for the gift of your Son, which you've given to us, as we've sung the King of Kings in which salvation brings. May we leave here today even with the words of Thomas, who exclaimed, my Lord and my God. May the salvation in which we have within us through Christ be radiant and bring forth others to the light of Christ and salvation in their lives. May we share the love and peace that Christ brings. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.